Hey guys, welcome to episode 4 of the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. So, upon reflecting on what today's episode should be about, I really felt called to talk about faith and my experience with walking in faith. What does it look like? How do you know you're walking by faith? Now, one of my favorite quotes from scripture about walking by faith is in 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And I Googled the definition of faith, and what Google gave me was faith is trust and confidence in what is hoped for and assurance about things not seen. And I feel like that definition fits in very well with the scripture in 2 Corinthians. Is it saying having trust and confidence in what you hope for and assurance about things that are not seen? How in 2 Corinthians it says we walk by faith, not by sight. In my walk with Christ, something that I have been reminded of over and over is to trust in the word of the Lord, even if your physical surroundings don't match what the Lord is telling you. Now, when I was really new in my faith, and I was working on surrendering things to the Lord, it was hard for me to comprehend how there were other people that just blindly put their faith in God. People who just blindly put their faith in the Lord, knowing He was going to take care of it. Because at that point in my life, I didn't feel like I had examples of God moving in my life. I felt like, sure, I have examples of Him in the scripture, but is He still doing now what He was doing for people then? And I didn't have the blind faith. I felt like the Lord at that time was speaking restoration over me. I felt like the Lord was making promises. At the time when I surrendered my life to Christ, I wasn't in the best space financially, and I was really counting on Him for provision. I was really counting on Him to make a way when there appeared to be no way. It was really hard for me to put my faith in that when I feel like I hadn't seen Him move in my life in that way up to that point. At that time in my life, God was calling me to be still, to not try to open up a door. I felt like at this point in my life, I was living across the country in the middle of what was like the desert, and I felt like God was calling me to move back to my hometown for that time being. But that was about over 2,000 miles away. And I had no provision, no money to get there. And I felt the Lord tell me that He was going to make a way for that to happen. And He was calling me to be still where I was at and to pray to Him and to spend time in my Bible. He wasn't calling me to get a 9-to-5 where I was at. He wasn't calling me to pick up all these side hustles. He wasn't calling me to open up the door. He was calling me to be still and have faith that He would bring the provision to me. And that was so hard for me, because I was so used to my entire life trying to create ways and trying to open up doors and trying to figure it out for myself. I didn't like to be in a space of lack. I didn't like to be in a space of not knowing. I didn't like to be in a space where I didn't feel like I was in control. And God was calling me to release all control to Him. And I will tell you, God came through, and I've shared some of these testimonies on TikTok, and I'm sure I'll share them at some point on my podcast. But God worked on people's hearts, and He worked in miracles. He brought in provision in miraculous ways, ways that I could never create for myself, and ways I did not create for myself. God brought people to me. God led me to do things that He was able to work through those things. It was when I was pursuing the kingdom of heaven and setting my mind on things above and just focusing on pleasing God and what He called me to do and not doing self-serving things is when He was able to move in my life the most. But see, that took faith, right? Doing absolutely nothing except for reading and praying and fleeing temptation, because temptation was coming at me. I had some offers and opportunities coming my way to overstep my morals and to sin for provision. And you know, I had to reject those things. I had to flee temptation and turn to the Lord. And it took faith doing that, right? And it was a struggle for me at first. I was like, God, I know that you're speaking to me. I know you're telling me that if I move by faith, if I rest, if I wait on you will deliver. But I haven't seen you do it before in my life. And God gave me a blessing, and that blessing was someone else's testimony. You know, it's incredible how sharing our testimonies with other people can be exactly what they need to hear to plant a seed, to move by faith. Our testimonies that God gives us and glorifying God, glorifying Jesus in these testimonies makes a lot more of an impact than we think. And a lot of times we're scared, we're afraid to share our testimonies, but we don't realize that in holding it down and keeping it in for whatever reason, you know, we're not allowing God to move in the ways that He could be moving. And this testimony that really got me through was from a man named Jonathan Rumi. Those of you guys who have heard of his name before, he plays Jesus in the show The Chosen. And I was listening to his testimony. It was a short video I was watching, and keep in mind at this time I had like no money to my name. I had no, my living situation wasn't ideal, and I was really waiting on a move of God. And this testimony that Jonathan Rumi shared, just to paraphrase it a bit, was how he had kind of hit the end of his road, right? And he wasn't seeing his own methods of trying to create provision were no longer working out. He was getting behind financially, he was getting behind in bills. I think he was in debt, and he only had like, he was negative in his account, and he only had like $20 to his name. And that was the day that he surrendered to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like he looked up. He had been, you know, from my understanding, I was raised Roman Catholic too. Those of y'all who know, like I did go astray into New Age spirituality in my young adult years. Although I was raised Roman Catholic, I personally didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I more attended church. But there was no fruit in my life growing up. There was no fruit of the Spirit. I was living a life displeasing to God, actively in sin. So Jesus Christ wasn't working in me at that time. No, and I'm saying that's just me personally. I know my understanding is Jonathan, he was a practicing Catholic at that time, and you know, he had a relationship with Jesus, but he wasn't living fully surrendered, was my understanding. Like that was the day where he got down and he surrendered it all to the Lord and said, like, whatever you need me to do, your will, not mine. And he put his faith in the Lord, and that day he went and spent the last $20. And later that day, four different checks came in the mail with like all the provision that he needed. And months later, he got hired on to do the role of Jesus. And it was in his complete surrendering, like God made a way. And when I listened to that testimony, that was the strength I needed. That was the nourishment. That was the provision that I needed in that moment, because I knew God was doing it in scripture, but part of me had a doubt that he was still making ways now. And I was able to see with Jonathan Rumi in his testimony that God made a way out of no way, that God brought in all the provision. You know, it was hard for me to believe that God could just bring money. Like I wouldn't have to go out and try to create all these things. God could bring it to me, and all he needed was my surrender, and it was listening to that testimony. And I recommend you guys go and listen to his testimony. That gave me the strength I needed. It gave me, you know, because at that time I didn't feel like I had testimonies of God doing it in my life that I could recall. That I could say I've seen God do it before, so I know he can do it now. And since I didn't have that in my own life, he gave that to me in Jonathan Rumi's testimony. And, you know, God ended up making a way. And my physical surroundings honestly didn't look like he was going to make a way. Did I start seeing blessings coming in? Yeah, but I also had a lot of inconvenient things going on. I had a lot of spiritual warfare. I had a lot of attacks. That, you know, usually when you think, oh, things are about to get really good, in our mind, we think that, like, our reality is supposed to like naturally just start things getting good and good and good, and then the amazing thing happens. And honestly, the way God has worked in my life is sometimes it actually looks like things are getting more stressful and more complicated and more heated and harder, and then all of a sudden the breakthrough comes in. A lot of times in my experience, it's not that gradual going up. If anything, it looks like it's going down and then it goes up. And the Lord has really revealed to me that, these are the testing periods and these are the periods of spiritual warfare. The most current understanding I have from the Lord, and I shared this in my last episode, was you can think of it as God has you positioned to receive. He's telling you that these things are working out and he's, moving things around in your physical in ways that you may not truly understand. It's already done in heaven, and now he's moving it around on earth. And he has you in a position to receive. And the enemy knows, the enemy, the devil, knows that God has you in a position. So what he's doing is he's throwing things at you. And he's trying to get you to step out of that position. He's trying to get you to step out of the way. Because he can no longer take it from you. He can no longer delay it. So all he can really do is try to get you to miss it, try to get you to refuse it, try to get you to reject it. So oftentimes when you're seeing all that chaos and all those messy things going on around you, that's the enemy trying to get you to doubt. That's the enemy trying to get you fearful. That's the enemy trying to get you to settle. He's trying to get you to miss what God is doing in your life. And that is the time to look up. So when everything is going crazy around you, that's the time to walk by faith, not by sight. So if you're wondering, are you walking by faith? Because this was a question I remember writing in my journal a lot. It's like, how do I know that I'm surrendered to God? How do I know that I'm walking by faith? And I'll tell you the ways that I knew I was starting to walk by faith was at times in the past when I would be tempted to take control, right? For instance, when I would feel it, I would feel, and I didn't even know it was God at the time moving. In retrospect, I can see like, wow, that was God trying to talk to me. That was God trying to get me to move. But, I was so focused on myself that I just took it as my discernment or my own intuition or my own whatever. I wasn't giving God credit where credit was due. And in the past, he was trying to tell me, take this action, do this thing, release, like stop moving, wait on me to work things out. And, I would at first try to wait on God and I would stop. And when I would expect, God to swoop in at the last moment and save everything and nothing bad happens and it's all a relief. But it would be the second that I'm waiting on God and things appear to be like falling through the cracks, right? And it's as if like something's hanging and it starts to slowly fall and God's telling you, don't try to catch it. Let it start to fall. And it's like you're letting it start to fall and you're waiting on God to stick his hand out and you're watching him and he's not sticking his hand out. He's not catching it. And at the very last minute, when that thing is falling to the floor, instead of letting it fall like he's telling you to, you reach out and catch it. And for me, that was when God would be telling me to wait on him for provision. I would try to make money somehow. I would try to get a job. I would try to do this thing. God would tell me to wait on a person, but then I would reach out first. And it was all the things of like I would be waiting on God, and then at the very last minute, when I felt like he wasn't coming through, I would swoop in. And upon reflection, I wasn't walking by faith. And because I was trying to swoop in and fix it, because I was trying to control it, because I was relying on my own understanding, that's how I was able to look back and be like, okay, I wasn't walking by faith because I was still trying to save these things. I was still trying to fix these things. I was still trying to control these things. I knew I was walking by faith when I started letting that thing fall to the floor. And sometimes once that thing fell to the floor, God would clear it out of the way, and I would see that that thing was meant to fall out of my life for a reason. I wasn't supposed to hold on to it. And sometimes that thing would fall to the floor, and it would turn into a seed, and it would take root, and something would sprout and grow from it. There were sometimes where God would let it fall to bring it back up, to restore it, to grow it. There were sometimes that those things falling were just pruning. So that way they could bear more fruit. And there were some things that sometimes those things were falling, so that way they could fall out. Some of the things that we're holding on to so tight, God is trying to clear out of our life to make room for something else. Sometimes we're waiting on him to do a thing, but he can't do that thing until our environment has shifted, until our mindset has changed. There are some things that we're holding on to that we're keeping on around us that if God were to bless us right now and we still have these things around, these things would do some serious damage. So walking by faith is trusting even when your surroundings don't look like what God is speaking over you or speaking to you. And I'm telling you from experience, y'all, that not everything looks like God's promise. You know if you've ever heard the saying, trust the process. Really, with God, y'all, you gotta trust the process. Now, I didn't see the podcast taking this turn, this episode today, but I'm really feeling it put on my heart to tell you guys today that it is better to give than it is to receive. And I want to read to you some scripture in 2 Corinthians about the cheerful giver, starting in at chapter 9, verse 6. And it says here, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiently in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Wow. Okay, I feel like I see why the Lord was leading me to read this scripture. There's a testimony I need to share with you guys. I was talking about Jonathan Rumi's testimony. There's a testimony of God working in my life that I know is going to help somebody today. So as I was telling you guys about when I was waiting on God to bring me provision, I feel placed on my heart to share with you guys how God did that in my life. So to give you a little bit of background of what I was going through at that time, I was living across the country. I didn't have any friends or family or anything around me. God had called me to leave my previous work because my previous work was sinful. For those of y'all who know me, who have been here with me for a while, if you've listened to my testimonies on TikTok, when Jesus Christ found me, I was in New Age spirituality. And when I was in New Age spirituality, I was a tarot card reader. And that was what I was doing for my provision for my work. And I felt the Lord call me away from that. And I repented for that, and I turned away from that. And after I left that behind, I was turning to God, and I was like, God, you know, do you want me to get a 9-to-5 here where I was at? You know, like, I understand I need money, I need to work. God, how do I provide? And I felt God really revealed to me that I was supposed to be moving. At that time, I was in California. I was in the West Coast. I was in the desert. My housing was a temporary situation. I was actually in my car with my cat. And I had felt the Lord tell me, you know, I want you to, my hometown is in Indiana. And I felt the Lord tell me that you're going to go back to Indiana. And I was like, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to be brought back to Indiana. It's going to take money, gas to drive there. I don't understand. But okay, if it's your will, it's going to happen. And I was asking God, you know, do I need to get a 9-to-5 job here and rack up enough money to get back? Do I need to get a place here temporarily? And I really felt God tell me to just stay in my car, trust that he will provide, and continue reading my scripture and praying to him. And that was the first time in my life that I had ever really surrendered in that way. Because as I said, I always wanted to catch the ball before it dropped. So in the past, when I felt God kind of put something like that on me, I would go out and apply for a job. I would get back and do live streaming and try to bring up money. I didn't like to wait on other people's provision. That was kind of hard for me. So waiting on God to bring it up and accepting help was a little bit foreign, you know? Well, God, over weeks, was putting it on people's hearts to help me. I had strangers coming up and offering things to me. I remember there was one time I was praying to God where I was like, God, my phone bill's about to run up. I don't know what I'm going to do with my phone situation. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in a while. God was taking me through fasts. So I was going through fasts at this time, and it was really breaking off a lot of demonic strongholds. And I was going through these fasts, so I was hungry, my cat needed food, and my phone, and I felt like I was getting a little too specific for God. Well, later that day, God brings a stranger. A stranger comes up to me and offers for me to have dinner with them right across the street, right in sight, very public place. I say yes, and I eat with them Food is checked off the list. As we're talking, this person finds out I have a cat, and I find out they have a cat. They're traveling, they're actually a truck driver. And I'm walking back to my car, and this person's walking with me, and this person offers me. They have a lot of extra cat food, and they offer me this extra cat food. And I'm like, sure, I'll take it. Bam. Cat food is checked off the list. It's hours later, I'm sitting in my car, getting ready to go to bed. I think this person is totally on their way, totally gone. And this person knocks on my window. And this person is holding a phone. They have a lot of extra devices and extra electronics that come with being like a truck driver. And they said, look, I don't know what your phone situation is, because they had no clue I was hurting, that I was about to run out. They had no clue, so I know this was God working on their heart. They said, I want to give this phone to you. It's totally paid for. Don't worry about it. God bless. And checked. A phone was checked off that list. God gave me a phone. All the things I needed. Now, it was about a week later on a Sunday that a random person gave me $60 in the parking lot, stopped me, and gave me money. Now, I was using that money for gas and for my food and getting settled, and it was getting a little bit closer to midweek when I was reading scripture that day, and I started having the Lord place on my heart, it's better to give than it is to receive. And I felt like this scripture that I read to you guys today about the cheerful giver was chasing me down. And I cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, I have $10 left in my pocket. If you want me to give away that money, show me who to give it to. It was a couple hours later that, see, at that point there was a Panera, a Panera Bread that they had like a sips club that I was a part of for a free membership, like a free trial for 3 months, where I was going across the street multiple times a day and getting caffeine, getting a pop. And I went across the street to Panera, and as I was going across the street, I saw this man on the street that appeared to be homeless. Now, in California, I saw a lot of homeless people, but I had never seen him before in that area, and I had learned to recognize the people in the area. And as I was inside Panera grabbing my drink, I really felt it put on my heart to give this man the last of the money I had in my pocket. So as I was walking out, I gave this man the last of the money I had. He looked at me saying thank you, and I just said, yeah, no problem, and anxiously walked away, expecting nothing of it. Just sowing the last of what I had. I thought this man was even worse off than I was. I thought, well, he must need this $10 more than I do. It was hours later that this man approached me in the parking lot and handed me a scratch-off ticket. It was really dirty. It was really crusty. And he had said he just found it and decided to give it to me. He called me the lucky lady with the lucky ticket. And he walked away. And I scratched off that ticket. And that ticket was $100 worth. I ran inside the truck stop I was parked at and I cashed that in. I got the $100 and I walked around for about 20 minutes looking for that man, wanting to buy him dinner. Because that's what I knew I was going to do with that money first thing. But I figured, hey, I gave this man 10 bucks and he gave me 100. The least I can do is buy him dinner. But after about 20 minutes, I couldn't find him anywhere. So I decided to go inside the restaurant across the street, and wouldn't you know, I walk in there and there he is. And I offer to buy him food. I offer to buy him a meal. He goes with the $5 meal we're sitting and talking. He asks me what I'm doing. And, you know, usually I keep my private business to myself, but I really felt called to share with him. And I shared with him that I was waiting on provision to go back to Indiana. And then for a couple hours, I talked to this man about Jesus Christ. I felt the need to share the gospel with him. And he shared that he had a lot of painful things going on in his life. And he asked if I was still going to be there in the morning. And I told him, yeah. The next morning, that morning, he came and talked to me. Not only did he come and talk to me, he came to me with $300. Or was it? It was $200. It was $200. And he handed me $200. And that put together with my $100 was the provision I needed to drive back to Indiana. And that weekend, I was driving back to Indiana. Not to mention, I forgot to drop this in. When I left that restaurant and finished talking to that man, after I'd spent the $5 on him, I sat down in my car. A random stranger walked up to me and handed me $5, replacing the money that I had spent buying that man food. And that was a day when I learned it's better to give than it is to receive. And God actually blessed my giving. I gave the last of what I had, not expecting anything in return. And that day, God used that to open up a door to bring all the provision I needed, everything I needed. And that weekend, I was back in Indiana. That money lasted. It got me through. I don't know how that money got through because gas was really expensive on the West Coast. I was praying to God the whole way, and I felt like He was telling me He was going to make a way when there appeared to be no way. And I kept recalling the story about how Jesus split the loaves and the fish and fed the 5,000. And I felt Him tell me that He was going to do the same thing, that $300 was going to get me that 2,000 plus miles in food in just a couple days. I hope this testimony is helping you who's watching this and hearing that God made a way when there appeared to be no way. God told me to wait and rest, even if people looked at me like I was lazy or crazy. And I did. And when God told me to invest the last of what I had, I did. And He used that to develop and grow something amazing. And He used that to deliver. He made a way out of no way. So I pray that this testimony helps you to walk by faith and not by sight today. I think this is a good place to end episode 4 of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I hope you come back and listen to episode 5 when it releases. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless.